This podcast is part of the Everyday Heroes Podcast Network, the network for first responders and those who support them.
Even though I think that we're meant to push through things, I think that we're meant to find ways to grow, and you can only grow through the hard times.
Welcome to the Off Duty Podcast, the podcast where we interview the men and women of law enforcement and help you to learn about the person behind the badge. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you. My name is Anthony McNeil, retired police officer and your host. Let's get started. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 50. Yes, number 50. We've made it. Most podcasts don't even make it past episode number 10, but I've been blessed to make it to number 50. And I'm also blessed to have another fantastic guest joining me today on the podcast. This young lady has 6 years in law enforcement. She's from the state of Georgia. Besides being a law enforcement officer herself, she's also a law enforcement officer's wife. She's a reptile wrangler, and she's a school resource officer. Please help me welcome Deputy Amber Cardell. Amber, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Anthony.
Yeah, thank you for joining me on the podcast. I really appreciate it. I love going through and checking out the guests' social media and everything. When I came across your profile, I definitely wanted to reach out to you because you look like you would be a fun conversation. And that's why I extended the invitation.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. For all of you that listen to the podcast, you guys know what my first question is, and that's very simply, Amber, why law enforcement?
It's kind of funny because growing up, I thought I wanted to be a firefighter. And until I hit about 16, that's what I was dead set on doing. But in high school, they started offering some law enforcement classes, and I started taking them and I fell in love. And then I started to see more of the lighthearted side of law enforcement. And I started realizing that I have so many role models and good people in my life that are law enforcement. And I have so many, especially female officers and deputies that I looked up to. And so when I started really thinking about it, I thought, man, that's really what I want to do. Then I went to college, and at first I said, what is my major going to be? And then it clicked. I said, duh, criminal justice. So I went on and I finished school, and I ended up being my major. The cool part in that is that my last semester of college, my very first law enforcement job, I interviewed a local police chief. And before I left, he had me filling out an application. So.
That's awesome. I think I missed it, but are there other family members in law enforcement?
None.
Okay.
I'm the first.
How did your parents feel when you told them you were taking this route?
My mom, probably like any other mom, she just was not. I don't think she slept the first several years when I was on night shift. But she loves that I'm in the schools now. So,
since you've gotten into the profession, is it what you thought it would be?
Yes and no, because I knew from the beginning my goal was to be an SRO. I knew that I wanted to work with kids and I wanted to be that positive side. Not that I can't get dirty and down with the guys, but I really knew that I wanted to work with kids from the beginning. And so now that I'm actually in the schools, it's everything and more.
Yeah. How long have you been a school resource officer?
Since 2017. So about 4 years now.
What's the craziest thing that you've experienced so far with the kids?
Craziest thing? There's good and there's bad. The kids are great. And to be honest with you, you just see a lot of the sad situations that a lot of these kids are in. Their home lives is just, it's just not what you're used to, I think. At least I'm used to. I grew up with wonderful parents and I try to be good for my kids too. But a lot of these kids don't necessarily have those positive role models. They don't have great experiences, especially with law enforcement. So they come into school and they see an officer and they're thinking, whoa, why are you here? Because they've only seen the negative side. But I've made it a goal to really work with especially those kids who might not have the best home life and really just be a difference and be the good side of what they might not see. But as far as craziest, I don't know that I've had a lot of crazy. I've been bitten by kids. I have really seen it all because I've worked in every level from pre-K up to high school. So I've kind of seen it all. But the craziest is honestly just seeing how bad it can be for some kids. They don't always have meals. They don't always have any food. I've seen kids walk to school because they just wanted to get an education. And to me, those are the kids that really put in the effort. They want to be at school because that's the best place for them. And they know that even at a very young age, sixth, seventh, eighth grade.
Man, that's got to be hard to see day in and day out. Are you constantly at the school or are you only there when they need you?
No, I'm full-time assigned to the schools. Now, when I'm not in school, like summertime, winter break, things like that, I can work patrol. My previous agency, I kind of did it all. I was bicycle patrol. I try to stick with the community relations type stuff, the positive stuff. But I kind of do it all. But most of the time, well, when school is in, I'm in the schools.
Do you have kids of your own?
Two. Well, one and a half. I have a son and a stepson. So.
Okay. As dealing with other people's kids all day long, does that make it a little tougher when you get home to deal with yours?
Yes and no. I think it, on one hand, it makes me appreciate my kids a little bit more and love on them a little bit more just because you see the sad stories, but on the other hand, yeah, I can. I mean, I always say teachers are the real heroes of this world because dealing with 20, 30 kids that are not your own and you love them just like your own, but then you can't really discipline and things like that the same way you would as a parent. So yes and no. I'm not with the group of kids that I'm in right now. I try to interact with them as much as possible, whether that be in the cafeteria, the gym, and playing games and stuff like that. But I try to get in the classrooms a little bit, but I don't really want to interrupt their instruction time either.
So
kind of the stuff that I get to do with them is more fun as opposed to just the negative stuff. Now, I do see some things. It's unfortunate. You see drugs in schools. You see a lot of the problems we're dealing with right now is vapes. So just got way off track.
Wow. Do you see yourself staying in that position for a while or is there other things you want to do?
Well, like I said, from the beginning, this is really what I wanted to do. And I honestly got into the schools a lot faster. I was very blessed with my first agency to be able to be in the schools a lot earlier than most people would. But I like what I'm doing now. Of course, if another opportunity presents itself, I work at a Leisure of Sheriff. So if he needs me somewhere else and they think that that's better for me in the department, then of course that's where I'd go. But I do very much enjoy being in the schools. I like what I do. I think I provide a lot to the schools. So yes, for now.
Well, that's the important part is that you have to enjoy what you're doing.
Yes.
And it sounds like you are doing that. I want to go ahead and get into my first segment here, and this is what I call Dig Deeper. Before we get to the next segment, I have a favor to ask of you. I have a short 5-question survey on stress and law enforcement. If you can complete the survey for me, I'll send you a $100 restaurant voucher that is good at over 55,000 different restaurants across the United States. It should take you no more than maybe a minute and a half. Now, there is a small fee to activate the voucher. I think it's like $7.95, but you're going to get $100 in savings at all these different restaurants. So go to the offdutypodcast.com/survey form. That's the offdutypodcast.com/survey form to complete the survey. Okay, let's get back to the segment. All of you that are listening that don't know what this is where I get nosy and I go poking around my guest's social media and I find 3 or 4 posts and I craft questions around those posts. With you, Amber, I want to start with your bio and reptile wrangler. What's that all about?
Oh my goodness. It started out, I swear, the first school that I ever worked at was snake infested and not in a gross way. It was kind of on a creek. They had huge fields. So, of course, snakes showed up. And probably my first year, I don't know why. I guess I'm just not scared of snakes.
Really?
Yeah. I had a ball python. So it was nothing new for me hold snakes. So it kind of started out just parents would call. They would be in the car rider line and say, I see a snake. And so for some reason, they thought, you have a gun, you can handle it. So I would go and just wrangle the snakes. And
listen,
they just showed
up. You're better than me. We live in a subdivision. And we've been in our house now almost 6 years. And I've seen probably 3 or 4 snakes. They're just gardener snakes, maybe a foot and a half, if that long. But it's like, they just creep me out.
You know, that's how I am with spiders. They have too many legs. I'm good with no legs.
I was actually cutting the grass last week and I ran one of them over. It didn't kill him. He just popped out and went squirming off into the grass. But I'm like, this is ridiculous. Where are all these things coming from?
I know. But the thing is where I'm located, I kind of have a good idea. I have done a lot of research, so I know what snakes are venomous and what snakes are not venomous in our area. So if it's bad, I'm going to leave it alone. But if it's good, if it's a good snake, I'll just relocate it.
Yeah. Do you still have your python?
Yes and no. He has been rehomed. But okay. I still have access to him. Or that's actually a girl. I still have access to her. So
gotcha. Is that the only pet or was the only pet?
No, you have heard my dogs barking, I'm sure. I have a German Shepherd. I have a Boxer. And then recently, I found a Golden Retriever German Shepherd mix. He was stranded on the side of the road, very malnourished and injured. I'm too nice to have left it. So I snagged him up and he is just the cutest thing. Took him to the vet, got him all rehabilitated. And for right now, I do have him, but if I can find him a good, loving home that is deserving enough, then I will give him to them. Just kind of a foster situation.
Yeah. The other part of your bio I want to ask you about is the law enforcement wife part. How long you guys been married?
Actually, January. We just got married in January.
Oh, congratulations. Newlyweds. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. How'd you guys meet?
Law enforcement through work. He's also the school resource officer.
Okay.
Yeah. So we worked football games and basketball games and we were friends for a while. And then of course it turned into more. So
yeah, we've been married now for 28 years. We're actually leaving. Well, it'll be after this. I should be back by the time this is released, but we're leaving to go to Aruba, which is where we went for our honeymoon 28 years ago. So this will be the first time heading back.
I hope it's just as good this time as it was then.
Yeah. If we can get out of this virus crap, we'll be good. Enjoy it because the years go by fast.
Yeah. I realize that after having kids, time flies.
Yes, it does. Very much so. I have two girls and they're both grown now. And it seems like they were just babies yesterday. So enjoy that also because that goes extremely fast. Now, I got to ask you a question about your husband. What's the most romantic thing he's ever done for you?
He's pretty romantic. If his coworkers see this, they'll probably give him some crap on it.
Probably. Come on now. We're cops. You know they will.
I know. He is a vacation planner. I mean, he will plan an extravagant vacation. We actually eloped when we got married. So we went to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but it is stunningly beautiful. Pictures don't do it justice. So that was pretty romantic. But this is where it gets embarrassing probably for him. There have been just weeks, you know how it goes in law enforcement. There have been weeks that are just terrible. And he will, on a Friday afternoon, he will draw me a bath, leave me a sweet note, say, go take a bath, be ready by 6:30. We're going to go to dinner. So he'll have an entire date night planned out. Let me take my girl time, take a bath and enjoy, just relax him for however long. Literally, he will have an entire outfit picked out for me. So just taking all the thinking out of it and taking me on a fun night.
Yeah, he's going to get a little digging when they listen to this. But tell him 10 years from now, keep doing that. That's how you keep things good, especially in this profession. Because as you know, it takes a toll on one person, but to have two doing it. So yeah, just tell him to keep that up. The next post I want to ask you about is a picture of you reading in your classroom. And the caption of that post says, doing what I do. Mm-hmm. You recall that post?
I do.
Okay. And my first question around that post is, what do you like to do when you're not working?
What do I like to do when I'm not working?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty crafty.
Okay.
I think most people in law enforcement have a second job. A lot of the guys cut grass or they do like tree removal or pressure washing or whatever. But for me, I like to craft. So I had a little Etsy shop for a long time. I make shirts. I make signs, like wooden signs. I do have a good amount of girlfriends that I love to hang out with. I love to spend time with my family, of course. We travel a lot. And most of our travels are to Orlando. We go down to Universal Studios quite a bit. We're kind of Harry Potter nerds. So We like to go.
That's a cool ride.
Yeah. We enjoy going down there and spending time together. We have adults trips and then we have kids trips too. So
that's cool. Where are some of the places that you've traveled to so far?
Orlando, Wyoming, Las Vegas. We're going to Charleston next weekend.
Okay.
I know we've been just random parts of Florida, just places like that.
You guys ever travel out of the country?
Not yet, but we are going to Jamaica next summer.
Oh, awesome. What part?
It's a sandals resort. I think it's Montego Bay. I've never done sandals, so fingers crossed. It's nice.
Yeah, we stayed at Sandals in, I can't remember. I want to say St. Martin. I can't, it was either St. Martin or Turks and Caicos. I can't remember which one.
Both are beautiful.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was, but it was off the charts. It was off the charts. Montego Bay is nice.
I've been there on a couple of cruises, but I'm hoping that the Sandals resort part is nicer. I'm just excited about the all-inclusive. I cannot wait to eat all the food.
I'll tell you a funny story. When we went, our daughter was maybe 2-3 years old or something. And for some reason, they had ran out of milk at the resort. So there was a market area across the street from the resort. And this was kind of in the evening, so it was starting to get dark. And I had to go over to this market area to get some milk. And I go out the gate, and the guard that's at the gate, he goes, "Do you need me to come with you?" And I says, "No, I'm just going across the street to grab some milk." And it didn't register when he asked me that. So I go over to the market. I take about 25, 30 steps inside, and then I stop. And I start looking around. And all of a sudden, I just start backing out.
I needed that security guard.
the cop in me kicked in. And I'm like, this does not look like someplace I need to be. She's going to have to go without the milk tonight.
Similar thing happened to me in, where was I? Puerto Rico. It was pretty similar. The police just drive around there with their blue lights on all the time. And when we asked, they said, yeah, like we have to.
Wow. Now, what would you be doing if you weren't in law enforcement?
That is a great question. In this kind of job, you just never know. I like to think it would be still something working with kids.
Okay.
But then I like to do crafty. Maybe I could be an art teacher. I don't know.
There you go. Combine all the passions together. There you go.
I left law enforcement. Well, sworn law enforcement for a year. I went and worked for another local school district. I got a ton of experience, just more beyond just the regular school safety that I do. It was all aspects of school operations. So it was really good to get that experience, because when I came back to law enforcement, I was able to bring that back to the schools that I'm at now. And it was more than just, make sure your doors are locked. It was everything from fire safety to just general safety to working with kids, and really just how the positive environment in the schools can really impact their grades and their attendance and all that stuff. So I feel like I kind of have more of a well-rounded understanding of school operations and safety now, and just being able to bring that is kind of a whole new realm. So even though it was more pushing paper and desk work than I'm used to, I'm very grateful for that experience. But I definitely hope to stay in the schools.
Now, I know you have a little ways to go, but what does life look like after law enforcement?
Hopefully a lot of travels. My husband will say a lot of golf.
Oh, my man. Yeah. I like him already.
I told him the other day, I said, when he'll get to retire before me, I said, when you get to retire, I'm still going to be working. What are you going to do? He said, I'm going to play him golf with your dad every day.
It's funny because I've been retired now for 8 years, and that was my plan. I play less now than I did when I was working.
It's honestly sad to think about, because I love my job so much right now. I'm just not ready. That year that I was gone, I missed it so much. And now that I'm back, just to hear whether, it's a coworker or someone from another department, not that they don't have a right to complain. Of course they do, or have certain feelings about it. I get that. It's just so hard for me because I enjoy my job so much, and I love where I'm at, especially. My department's wonderful. So yeah, I don't, it's just hard to think about retirement anytime soon, because I do have a long ways to go.
Yeah, you have a little ways to go, but trust me, it goes so fast. It goes so fast. Now, your kids are young. When they get to that age, if they came to you and said, Mom, I want to go into law enforcement, how would you feel about it?
I hope that I would have a more positive reaction than my mom had. not that my mom's not supportive. She's very proud of me, but that doesn't mean she's not scared. I think that I would be a little apprehensive about it just because I know what the job is like, but it's brought so many opportunities for me. And I still, regardless of what's in the media, I still believe this is an admirable profession. So I think that I would be proud of them if this is what they chose to do, even though we know the dangers. I trust my training. I trust where I'm at, and I trust my coworkers to keep me safe too. So I think that it'll be even more progressed by the time they're old enough, if that's what they choose to do.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's surely hope so. Next post I wanted to ask you a question about. This was a picture of you and a young boy while you were working. And the caption read, Miss Deputy Amber, can I take a picture with you? And you replied, love these sweet kiddos. They always find a way to make me smile. You remember that post?
Yes, and that one makes me a little emotional.
Why is that?
What that little boy didn't know is that I actually had to arrest his mom, but he still saw me and he saw the positive, and he just wanted to take a picture with somebody he thought was just an adult that cared about him. And I do. I very much care about all my kids, but I cared about him a lot, just knowing where he came from too. But that one does mean a lot to me for sure. I build very special relationships with my kids, and just to know that he was still so innocent. He didn't know the negative. All he saw was, oh, that's a police officer and she's cool. She works in my school every day and she plays with us and she likes to hang out with us. And I do. That's all he saw.
Yeah, that's tough. I remember working one morning and I was actually about to get off, and there was a gentleman. He was kind of our traffic guy. That's pretty much all he did was traffic. And he called for a backup one morning because he was arresting the driver who had, I think, like two suspensions on her driver's license or something. Well, I get there thinking that he needed a backup because he was, you know, he had something good going on, but he needed someone to take this lady's 7-year-old to school. I'm like, really, dude? This lady has two suspensions. Write her a ticket, call a ride. Daughter does not need to have the police take her to school. I mean, think of how her day is going to go after this.
Absolutely. And I don't think that unless you work in a school, I have so many coworkers that say, I could never do what you do. I think you could. I think that it's just different. You have to have a different mindset. In my previous job where I was having to go literally from on breaks, I would go from patrol to the schools. It's almost like you have to flip a switch. You have to be able to do everything. And unless you work in that environment, and I think with a little bit of experience, it helps to be able to do both. But yeah, like I said, unless you've worked in the schools, you don't necessarily understand how little things like that can impact the kids. Now, with that, I also understand I've worked on traffic before too, in a very traffic aggressive department. So I understand where that side comes from too. You have to do both, a little bit of both.
Yeah, no, he was just doing it for the overtime. That's all. That's all it was. It was almost time for us to get off, and he was an overtime hound, and he was just,
I'll find you an extra job.
Exactly. Now, my first question regarding that post is, outside of the kids, when you're having one of those days, what puts a smile on your face?
Okay. Hate to bring this up, but this is a great example. A few months ago, we had a pretty significant shooting event that really impacted several departments, my old department, my current department, and my husband's department. It really rocked our entire community because everybody here just loves us. They love what we do. Grateful for that. But of course, we still have to keep trucking on. And that day, I had so many teachers, so many staff members, parents just come up. They wanted to give me a hug. They wanted to tell me how grateful they are. They wanted to tell me that even though we see negative, 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 whether that's on social media or the news, that our community still loves us. They still support us. So just to have that kind of support and to know that there are still good people who like what we do, who are appreciative of what we do, that really keeps me going.
Awesome. What advice would you give someone who may be going through something and they're just not able to put a smile on their face at that moment.
I've been there too. I think we all have highs, we all have lows. And I would probably say that at some of my lowest points, I have just had to stop and find something good about the day. I had to find even the littlest things. A coworker and I had been kind of both going through it. We were both females, and we know that being females in this job can just be a little different. Not bad, mm-hmm. not any better, not any worse. But mm-hmm. I think that we both were kind of feeling some kind of way. So we made a pact to send each other, and this lasted for a couple of months. Every single day, we would send each other something we were grateful for. So instead of seeing the negatives of what we were doing every day or just thinking about all the negatives, we could always find something positive about yeah. our day. And that could be anything from, I'm grateful for you as my friend. I'm grateful that I have you to listen to me, to I'm grateful for my kids, to I'm grateful to have food on the table. Just find something positive in every day. And I know that might be hard. You might have to dig really deep, but mm-hmm. if I've done it, you can do it.
Yeah. Good advice. Good advice. What was 15-year-old Amber like?
So it's kind of funny. I have always been crafty. I love to craft, but I also cheered. Okay. And so it's kind of funny. I would be cheerleader, but then I'd be in my law enforcement classes. I also did JROTC. I played softball. So I think I was pretty well-rounded. Athletic. I never really had a certain clique or group of friends. I like to think that I enjoyed everybody's company. Probably a little too flirtatious with the boys. I have since grown, but I knew I wanted to be in some sort of public safety. So I stayed out of trouble. I never really got into trouble, even though my parents would say, oh, you did this, you did that. At the end of the day, my mama said several times, you could have turned out so bad, but you really had a good head on your shoulders. And I like to think that I did. I'm hoping that any bad stuff I did doesn't come back to bite me in the butt with my kids.
Yeah, tell me about it. Last post I want to ask you about. This was a carousel of videos of you at the gym. And The caption was, just as I promised myself, I made it to the gym today. Doesn't count unless you check in, right? You remember that post?
Mm-hmm. No, a long time ago.
Okay. And my question around that is, what's been the biggest transformation you've made in your life?
Biggest transformation? I went from, just like I said, I went through it emotionally. I just felt like I wasn't going anywhere. I think that especially women and moms will relate to this. But after you have your kid, you kind of stop living for yourself and you're living for your own child. And as a mother should, right? But mm-hmm. it took me a long time to realize that you kind of have to take a little bit of yourself back. Your kid is going to know that you're there for them. Your kid is going to know that you love them. But as a woman, you really have to stop and say, okay, how do I take care of myself? How do I let go of, I guess, just the, or how do I take back myself, really? That's when I started going to the gym. I started making life changes, just letting go of anything that didn't make me happy. And probably the most important thing from there was I started going to a local church. And that is really where I started to let go of all of my anxieties. I started to let go of all of the negatives that were in my life. And mm-hmm. I realized that I can't carry those burdens. It's not for me to carry. Even though I think that we're meant to push through things, I think that we're meant to find ways to grow. And you can only grow through the hard times. Mm-hmm. I think that going to church really helped me realize that it's not all meant for me to carry, that I can't carry every single burden in my life. So spiritually, I transformed. As a mom, I transformed. My kids are so much happier when I'm happier. So to be able to take that time for myself, to take that adult time for me and my husband, those have really helped me just grow as a mom, as an employee, as a spouse, all of the things.
I love that. That's why I asked you to come on the podcast. I love that. Great answer. Great answer. I love that. On that same note, sort of, I actually saw this last night, but if you guys have Netflix, look up I'm Not Your Guru. It's a Tony Robbins film. Be prepared to cry, but also be prepared to really learn a lot about yourself.
I'll have to do that.
It's a great film.
I'm not really the emotional one, to be honest with you, surprisingly.
Yeah, that is a surprise.
It is because my sister, my mom, my parents, they all said, you don't have a soul. You're not, you know, you're so mean, because I don't sit down and watch a movie and cry. I don't. get very emotional. And I think that that helps me do my job. I think that that helps me separate the bad stuff that I see and still be able to be that positive light. I think that that helps me to not bring all of those burdens and all of those sad stories home.
Can I give you some advice?
Yeah.
You're exactly like me when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I was involved in a shooting and it did not faze me at all.
That's what I'm scared of. I'm scared of it not fazing me.
Yeah. And with the exception of the last 5 years of my career where I had to go inside and work because of health issues, nothing bothered me except for one other run that I was on. And it involved two kids being trapped in a car and they both died because of the heat. That's the only thing that really affected me on the job. And the last 2 months or so, I've really been diving into and learning more about mental health and law enforcement. And I'm starting to learn a lot about myself and all those things that I departmentalized and blocked out so I could do the job. I'm now starting to realize that I wasn't affected mentally as bad as some with PTSD and things like that. But I'm starting to realize that, yes, it did affect me. So
I think that it does do that for sure. Like it does affect you in some ways. I'm able to block it off so that I don't come home and completely dwell on it. But at the same time, I think everything subconsciously definitely has like an effect on you. I've only cried, I think, twice since I've been doing this job. And one, we're both really involved kids. And when you can really step back and have that awareness of why does this affect me so much, I think that really helps you process it. And so I always make it a point to reflect on that.
Yeah, that's the key, to acknowledge it and deal with it at that moment.
Yes.
And that was something I didn't do.
It wasn't until I met my husband that I let things get to me. I'm so much more emotional. Like I let myself feel now. I guess he just kind of penetrated my heart and let me feel a little bit more. So.
Listen, I want to be respectful of your time.
Yeah.
Because I could talk about that all day, but I want to get to the next segment. And this is what I call Random 7. These are just 7 totally random questions that are electronically generated. Okay. The first question is, what is something you don't mind sharing with other people? And that could be something physical, something emotional, anything.
I don't like to share a lot about my kids just to protect them because they're still so young. But my husband is also in law enforcement. And while I like to protect a little bit of our privacy, I am so proud of him and I'm so proud of our relationship. So I love to show him off and show off our relationship because happiness. Like if you're happy and you can share your happiness, other people are just going to see that and they'll want to be happy too.
I like it. I like it. Next question. Name one thing you're afraid to try.
Something I'm afraid to try. I don't ever want to jump out of an airplane.
I 100% agree with that.
One of my boys swears he's going to do it for his 18th birthday. I'm like, you do you, son, but I'm not going to be there with you.
I see no reason in doing that.
Planes have seatbelts for a reason.
Exactly. Next question. Who was the best boss you ever had and what made them the best?
I would say my current boss, who is retiring at the end of this week. Congratulations to him. He is 3 times retired from 3 different agencies. And I think he's just been around. He's awesome. I think he's been around the block and he understands what it's like. And what makes me so appreciative of him is that from the beginning, from the very get-go, I have worked for other places that says family comes first. Well, he shows it. He shows that family comes first. And he says, I don't care what you're going through, like as far as work goes, like you can be going through it. Your family comes first. You are a spouse. You are a mom. You take care of what you need to take care of. Because if you're not taking care of there, you're not going to be in it here. Whatever it is, he says, your personal life is more important than this place. This place will keep running without you. But he also very much values us as employees. And he's always quick to tell us, you're doing great here. You're doing great there. He doesn't sweat the small stuff. Those are the things that the
fact
that
a great boss.
Yeah. The fact that he gets to know us personally means probably more to us. And I think that when you feel valued as a person, you feel more valued as an employee.
Yeah. You're more productive and you're willing to go that extra mile.
Mm-hmm.
Next question. If you could vacation for a week in any historical time period, when and where would it be?
Vacation for a week in any historical time period. This is going to sound weird, but I'm kind of obsessed with like the World War II time frame. So I don't know about vacation. I would like to go back then just to see what it was like. I feel like it was more simple times back then. And I feel like, especially post 9/11, I can remember that, how everybody was just so unified. And I like to feel like, or I like to think that it was like that around that time too. Everybody was just kind of unified after everything kind of settled down. So maybe back then, and I love the beach. So probably somewhere warm.
For me, I think it would probably be during the 20s, during the whole gangster time period, go to Harlem.
I would probably be a little nervous to do that.
Yeah, I don't know about a vacation there, but it would be fun just to visit for a day. Mm-hmm. Next question. Would you rather people never take you seriously or always be afraid of you?
Nobody takes me serious. Have you seen me? I don't know. That's a great question because it's so extreme on both ends. I think I'm already used to people just not taking me serious as it is. So probably not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this next one, I kind of know the answer to a little bit, I think. What kind of business would you like to start if you were given the chance?
You think you know, but if I could start, I would probably want to do like risk assessments in schools.
Really? See, I was thinking crafts.
I know. So. And I love that. Maybe I could make t-shirts for my business and then that would satisfy that. But
I was totally off.
School safety is definitely my wheelhouse. I love that. So I think that I've got a pretty good knowledge of that. And I've got some great former coworkers and bosses who have a lot of input too. And it pays well.
Yeah, yep. That's the key. Last question. What sound do you think you would miss most if you could no longer hear?
As a parent, you know, we're always like, oh, when are you going to shut up? Talking to your kids, they talk all the time. But I think that I would miss to being able to talk to my kids and hearing what they had to say. Like, tell me about their days. And they love to tell me what they're excited about. So,
yeah, I agree. That would definitely be my answer. All right. Last round here, our last segment. This is what I call this or that. I'm going to give you two topics. You simply have to pick one without thinking about it or thinking too much about it.
I just bought a this or that book, so maybe I know some of these.
The first one, volunteer time or donate money?
Donate money.
Dry cleaners or washing machine?
Dry cleaners.
Camouflage or tribal print?
Camo.
Zipper or Velcro?
Velcro.
Grass or sand?
Sand.
Vans or Converse?
Vans.
High five or handshake?
Fist bump. No, probably a high five. I give all my kids high.
Slurp or smack?
Neither. Slurp.
Black cat or broken mirror?
Black cat.
Champagne or wine?
Wine.
Amber, listen, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. Can you do me a favor? Can you please go ahead and share your social media so everybody can go check you out and follow you?
Yes. I am officer_Amber on Instagram.
Okay. That's the only platform you're on?
I'm also on TikTok. It's the same handle.
Okay. All right. I will put links to that down in the show notes. You guys, please go over and check out what Amber has going on her social media. She has some good stuff over there. That's why I reached out to her to come on to the podcast. Any last words before we go?
Thank you so much for letting me come on here and share my life with you.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come on and share about yourself. That's what this podcast is all about, getting to know the men and women and just being lighthearted and fun and letting the people out there know that we are human. Guys, listen, you know what to do. Support us. Leave a review, Apple Podcasts, whatever podcast platform you're listening to the podcast on. That's how the show gets recognized on those platforms. The more reviews and ratings and all that stuff that you use, the more the algorithm likes us. So please go over and do that. You can leave a 1-star or 5-star. That's up to you. Just leave us a review. And I am out of here, and I will see you guys on the next episode. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.